dead. There are four guards, a phalanx of guards, guarding him and keeping us from the room. 10 feet away, we were able to see that he was behind this room.
What do you feel needs to happen?
We need to defend Mumia's life immediately. He's in enemy territory right now, and we need people to call the hospital, Schuylkill Medical Center in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. We need people to call the prison and demand that he be seen by outside doctors to really assess the situation.
Johanna, we have to leave it there. I thank you for being with us. Johanna Fernandez, professor of history at Baruch College, CUNY, one of the coordinators of the campaign to bring Mumia home, it's called. That does it for the show. A very happy birthday to our own Mike Burke. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Armate, Nirmin Shake, Steve Martinez, Sam Alcock, Hani Masood, Rabbi Karen, Dina Gezder, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Matthew.
It has not happened yet.
This is Donna with your WUSB. Concert Billboard. Your Concert Billboard for Saturday, March 28th. Gene Casey and Michael Weisskopf will be at Coffee Pot Cellars in Kutchog, 130. Butcher's Blind Duo will be at Jason's Vineyards in Jamesport. Ricky Roach will be at Baiting Hollow Farm Vineyard in Calverton, 2 p.m. Dog Star Compromise, The Reckoning, and The Electrics will be at Vale Levitt Music Hall in Riverhead, 7 p.m. Moody Blues will be at the NYCB Theater in Westbury, 8 p.m. Mary Gaucher and David Wilcox will be at the Landmark on Main Street, Port Washington. KJ Denner will be at the 55 Bar, Manhattan, 10 p.m. On your concert billboard for Sunday, March 29th. The Days Beneath Us will be at Allure in Southold, 2 p.m. Reza Khan will be at Sparkling Point in Southold, beginning at 3. Newfound Glory will be at Paramount in Huntington Village, 7 p.m. They Might Be Giants will be at the Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. Debbie Harry will be at the Carlisle Cafe, Manhattan, 8:45.
Hey, it's Lister right here. The deal, the deal, the deal, the deal. Here's the deal. We need a steady flow of our funds throughout the year. You can't afford to give something that you're comfortable with. Let me give you a for example. $5 a month. Every month it kicks in for 12 months straight. Or $6 a month, $6, $6 every month, boom, boom, boom. Do it now. Call 631-632-690.1 FM. That's 631-632-6901. And we can make perfect arrangements that you'll feel comfortable with WSB being your super PAC to watch your back. Gracias.
Yo, 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 you're listening to the radio, and we're broadcasting on the radio from the frequency 90.1 FM. This is WUSB Stony Brook. The time is precisely 6:02 p.m., and it is Tuesday night, and that means I'm delighted to share with you Off the Wall.
Thank you.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. It's going pretty good. This is Emmanuel over here, and
I'm Kyle over here.
Okay, so you're going to be Kyle. All right. You don't want me. What you were saying in the coffee shop, that stays there.
All right. This is Pee-wee, and I'm your engineer.
You really want to go with that name?
Well, Pee-wee? I think
you really want to be Pee-wee.
There's nothing wrong with being called Pee-wee.
Okay, let me count the ways there's something wrong with being Pee-wee. You know, just the association with Pee-wee Herman alone would be enough to dissuade most people. But just being called Pee-wee in the streets, I think, you know, unless you're a big, like, 300-pound hulking guy that no one's going to mess with, which I guess people might think you are, but he's not. He really is not.
Well, what about Pipsqueak, then? Does Pipsqueak work?
We already have a Pipsqueak at this station.
Oh, man.
And he's not one to be trifled with.
You're right. You're right. You got a point.
Pee-wee. Wow. You surprise me every day, Kyle. Every day. There's something else. But, you know, tomorrow you get the chance to surprise people in person.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I maneuvered it over to that very swiftly. And
that's skill, everyone. The big fundraising thing.
We have a unique, first of its kind, out meet the public type of event.
Yep.
In a major supermarket here in the local area, and we're getting a huge donation for this effort, and it's really awesome. I'm very excited by it. The whole station is pretty much turning out for this thing. Whole Foods in Lake Grove. For those who don't know, Lake Grove is just adjacent to Stony Brook, a little bit to the south. And they have an outlet there, and they will be donating 5% of their sales for all of tomorrow, from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. And we're going to be there. Kyle and myself are going to be at that Whole Foods.
Sometime during the day, yeah.
3 p.m.
Yes.
Exactly at 3 p.m. We cannot be 1 minute late. It's very clear. It's very, very regimented. 3 to 4, actually, is when we're going to be there. That's our hour. But people are going to be there throughout the entire day. You can come at any time. I have no idea how much a supermarket makes in one day, but I guess we're going to find out. I imagine, you know, I see people online. This could be huge. You know, I've gone there. I've spent $100. So if I were to go there tomorrow and spend $100, that would be $5 to the radio station. So if there are 10 people checking out at the same time, all spending $100, that's 5 times 10. $50. Yeah. And if that goes on all day long.
Right.
You know, it just, the numbers keep adding up. So this could be incredible.
It's a tremendous way to get people out. I mean, people are going to do shopping anyway. So I think the symbiosis there is fantastic for a place like WUSB. And at a time like this, when we are raising lots and lots of money, stuff for overhead, stuff for capital improvements, stuff of all kinds, but mainly to keep this kind of programming, this kind of community thriving and coming at you over the frequency modulation band.
That's right. And this is one of many indications of how things can get better. At this place, we spend a lot of time complaining about the things that are wrong, you know, rodents in the ceiling and wires getting frayed and things blowing up and the equipment getting old, people getting old, all sorts of things happening that make things more challenging. But you have an event like this, you have all kinds of new projects being planned, you have a whole new group of students that are taking the helm and taking us to exciting places, and you realize that WUSB is something that's always going to be exciting, different, new, and completely relevant to whatever conversation you happen to be having. Not so with those commercial stations, because, you know, that's easily replaced. You can do that on your iPod, you know, you can get the kind of songs they play over and over again, and the lack of content that they pretty much are experts in. It's not hard to do that, but a place like WUSB is very, very different. The things we do aren't duplicated anywhere else.
Definitely. And we're flexible here.
Yes.
We can do all kinds of things. We try to make it an interesting time. And, you know, like, we can bring in the phones. And
hey, that's the phone. But can we get rid of the phone?
Okay, yeah. Good. And, I mean, this is a living, breathing radio station, and a pretty interesting one at that.
Well, that's because the squirrel is still up there. Once we get rid of that squirrel, it won't be breathing anymore, but it will be living.
So anyway, this is one of the things that's going to be going on. We're going to be participating. We're encouraging our listeners to participate, and and participate in the spring fun drive. If you can't maybe come down and participate, you can always support. You can support on the website, WUSB.FM.
That's right. Or you can call us, 631-632-6901. We have a lacrosse game coming up at 6:45. I believe the folks at Quinnipiac are visiting us.
I heard that it is Quinnipiac.
Yeah.
Quinnipiac.
Well, I hope they can handle defeat, because we intend to dish that out.
Yeah, I love that it's... I think lacrosse is pretty much an all-weather sport.
Yeah, it's raining now, but they're...
It is. It's a light rain.
They
it's
like
a mist.
Falling down in the mud.
Well, yeah, you can slide and uh-huh. you recover and get right back up and run across the field. It's I'm sure, going to be an interesting one out there. So stay safe, everyone. In all that mud and it ought to be a good game.
Yeah, but victory is paramount.
Yes, Stony Brook
staying safe. It's school honor.
Well, it's a good balance. I mean, stay safe within reason as long as you're winning.
I always thought lacrosse was the scariest game because you have this really hard ball being thrown at high velocities. And I guess they wear helmets, right? I think they wear helmets in lacrosse.
Definitely. I think they wear a full face mask, too.
But that ball can hurt no matter where it hits you. And it's going. It's not like a hockey puck. You know, it's flying through the air. It's not on the ice.
True.
But I'm even scared in the stands, because that ball can get loose.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, that's happening at 6:45.
So that is,
all the action here on WUSB.
Exciting programming tonight. But until then, you have us.
That's right, yes. You're going to have to deal with us until then. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to actually meet some listeners tomorrow. We occasionally meet listeners in weird places, like overseas, and sometimes in the city and things like that. Here we are, home turf. Those of you who are local, those of you who are in the area, make an appointment to come down. Well, you don't have to make an appointment, but in your head, make an appointment and just head down to the Whole Foods in Lake Grove anytime tomorrow, and you will see somebody from WUSB.
Yeah, I don't know if it's indoor or outdoor. I don't know what the weather is going to be like.
It's not outdoor. It's not putting us in the parking lot.
No.
I think not.
But there are going to be some musicians playing live, that kind of thing.
WUSB
in and out.
Musicians. We have a lot of musicians here on staff. We are not one of them or two of them, but there are lots of people here who do play music.
That's right, and that'll be an interesting part of the event. People are just kind of... visiting and putting together what they can for kind of an intimate setting there. So it ought to be interesting, and it's a good cause, and it's cool for a store like that to give us a space and let us raise a little bit of money at the same time.
I should address the issue, the elephant in the room, all right, because it does need to be addressed. The rumors about Justin Bieber showing up are unfounded, all right?
So, don't do that. Not on Long Island.
If that's the reason you're coming tomorrow, just to see Justin Bieber, please don't, because I'm telling you right now, honestly, the reports that he might be there are completely unfounded. So don't take any credence in that. Come to see us. I'm sure Justin would he'd appreciate it. He'd approve, but don't come to see him. That's not what he's there for. He's not there. He's not going to be there.
Yes, he's been roasted enough this week.
Yeah, I heard about that. Well, hopefully he didn't deck anybody.
Yes, and hopefully he grew up.
So, Pee-wee, I can't call you Pee-wee.
Call me Pipsqueak.
I can't even say that. No, why do you want names like this? Kyle's a perfectly acceptable name.
Okay, fine. You can call me Kyle.
There's a lot of Kyles around, I know, but there are, and there aren't very many Pee-wees.
It's a good Kyle. I've noticed there's a lot of bad Kyles around.
There are.
And I just want people to know that there are good Kyles in the world.
Yes, yes. So this week was last week into this week, I guess,
sure.
was kind of a traumatic week for many of us.
A lot of things flying at us.
Let's go with the flying to start with. Oh boy, it's stressful enough flying in these little sardine cans over the oceans and over the countries and things like that without the pilots trying to kill you.
Yeah, to say the least.
That's what's happening now.
Yeah, that's rough. Apparently they built a road. to get up to the investigation area and allow families. Ultimately, families are going to be able to use that road, but they also have been finding memory cards and things.
Oh my God!
From people who were on the plane, and that was one of the latest things that was leaked.
So there might actually be footage of what was going on in the passenger cabin. That's horrible to even think about.
What I read today is that a lot of it was unintelligible as far as individual people or anything, and they haven't substantiated the stuff that's being shown, but there were two German and a French newspaper that were shown this video unofficially. They couldn't confirm or whatever, but anyway, it was said that some of that stuff may have been turning up on the site, which, as you can imagine, it's probably going to in a situation like that. But a horrible event, really. If you travel, if you have flown ever in your life, you can definitely imagine the terror. And I mean, gosh, there's been a lot of terrible stuff going on with planes lately, and whether it's mechanical or disappearances or weather.
They still haven't found that plane from last year. They still haven't done that.
It's tough to take. And with this on top of it, it's probably been one of the more traumatizing years, and it's only just begun.
But you know, you say it's been a bad year, but actually,
okay, here we go.
Last year was the lowest ever as far as airline accident rates
ever.
Yeah, that's
isn't that something?
Well, I mean, you know, you hear about things like this,
right?
And of course, in your mind, that brings it up into a higher zone. You feel like the last year, I can count four different plane crashes with more than 100 people on board, and that seems pretty bad. But apparently, if you add up smaller plane crashes, they would exceed it normally.
Oh, definitely. General aviation probably opens up a slew of other categories, including experimental spacecraft.
I'm not sure they're counting that, but the International Air Transport Association said the global jetliner crash rate last year was the lowest ever, with, get this, 0.23 aircraft planes destroyed per million flights. What a statistic this is.
Amazing.
0.23 aircraft planes destroyed per million flights. So that means out of 1 million flights, one quarter of a plane is destroyed. One quarter of an aircraft plane. I'm not sure what that is exactly. It's a plane that goes up in the air.
Yeah, you could convert that into like a ratio or percentage or probability.
Aren't all planes aircraft, though? I mean, aircraft plane, that just seems kind of redundant.
Per aircraft, that's like foot pound.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they say the 5-year average was more than twice that high. So, you know, you can comfort yourself with that. But you basically, at least for me, I'm just hounded by the images of the nightmares those people must have gone through. And just, it's, you know, there is a lot of stupidity in this as well. There is a lot of stupidity.
Yeah.
I mean, when we first heard that...
When you look at the details, definitely.
Yeah. When we first heard the co-pilot was locked out, I thought the pilot inside had a heart attack or something.
Medical.
And nobody could get in.
Yep.
And what a stupid thing to only have one person in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's common sense. Something could happen to one person, and if you lock the door, the other person can't get in, and these doors are reinforced and made so that nobody can get in. Really, really not very smart. Turns out, of course, it was a bit more deliberate than that. The guy inside had actually deadbolted the door, so it was an intentional act. You have to do, and that's not normal to deadbolt the door like that. But still, there should be at least two people in the cockpit. You told me that in America, that is the rule.
Yeah, my understanding was that was the standard procedure across the states. And as I think about a lot of my own travels and what I've seen, it actually does kind of track. Although a lot of international flights, I'm so far back, you wouldn't be able to see, or I'm not even on the same level as the flight deck. But regardless, I think only in only on domestic flights have I seen that. So it does kind of stand true that maybe they didn't have the same, or from my understanding, they didn't have the same policy in Europe. And here we go.
Well, but I think they're starting to have that policy now. But
one thing,
it's just common sense, folks. You got to think these things through just a little bit. I mean, that's the first thing that I think either of us would have come up with.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there were a number of procedural things that could have helped. And I guess I'll speak to the larger thing I see in this story, insofar as mental health, but that is one of them. The ability for the door to have that third level of locking that bypasses the time lock. Mm-hmm. Not having a way around that if a senior officer is away from the deck, not having another senior flight crew like attendant or somebody take the place and chat up the guy flying, you know, like that's something I've seen quite frequently on flights, but I guess it had not been in place. There are other things too.
Well, there are three positions in the with the door. There's normal, which I guess is just you can open the door. There's unlock. That's what that is. Normal is locked, but you can enter it with a key code or some kind of a device. And then there's lock, which means nobody can get in. And they've built these doors. They're pull doors. You have to pull them.
Uh-huh.
So you can't really run and bash them because they don't even open them.
Not even with a drink cart.
But, you know, what I'm thinking is if it's in that lock position, it shouldn't be in that lock position unless there's some kind of an emergency. If you activate lock, somebody should be notified on the ground that you've done that. It's the equivalent of a hijack code.
Right.
And I think, I don't know if this is technically possible, but I think the ground should have the ability to override that.
Right. If you could remote wipe a cell phone, why couldn't you change the state of a lock?
You can buzz a door remotely, can't you? So you can do this remotely through radio waves?
Yeah. Even like the most minimal of remote things, those capabilities, I think are actually going to come into effect as a result of this as well. Go on.
You want to hear this quote from a pilot,
sure.
A Dutch pilot with Emirates Airlines. He said this 2 months ago. I hope I never find myself in a situation where I go to the toilet and return to find a cockpit door that won't open. How's that for a chilling? Yeah, people were aware this could be a problem. And pilots certainly were aware that this could be a problem.
Right.
So in this particular case, yes, the co-pilot had some mental issues, and apparently those mental issues blossomed on that particular day.
Well, and I'd like to speak to this a little bit. I think the other thing when you start getting into this particular situation is why someone with mental health issues, if you fail a physical, why a pilot, somebody responsible for that many people, why they would be allowed medically if they've failed to continue to be a mediator between their employer and the doctor. I think there should be some communication. I think a lot of people are thinking that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So I don't want to state the obvious, but I think one other thing that I'm really feeling, I think a lot of people are sort of looking at this now, and I think it's come up a lot, and we were looking at it pretty hard as a society, but this concept of breaking down,
mm-hmm.
having a breakdown, mentally breaking down. You can call it a lot of things. You can have a panic episode or attack or all of these sorts of things, but the ability to see when people are breaking down, or the ability to communicate to others that you are having a breakdown, or you're in a real vulnerable place where you could have a mental breakdown, and then finding something through that, having guidance and help and off ramps instead of facing it alone.
And if you think that you cannot have a breakdown, then I think you're the scariest one of all, because you don't realize what you're capable of. You don't know how to handle it when something like this happens. All kinds of things can push you into a breakdown. External stimuli, traumatic experiences, personal relationships, or just something chemically inside your brain. It can happen to anybody. And we need to be prepared for that. However, in this particular case, somebody with a history of this, and apparently his particular company did not even know about it because they didn't communicate well between themselves, that's inexcusable. People need to know about this kind of a thing. And you can't have such you can't basically make it the fault of the person when they have these illnesses, but you can't ignore it either.
Yeah, and I think that you can – there are ways you can have mechanisms, you can have ways of structuring employer and employee relationships and communications with health providers without violating German privacy laws and other obvious things. There's certainly going to be some changes in light of this. And I think we talk about this a lot. You've spoken in the past a lot about people getting, terrible word, especially when you're talking about guns, but triggered by things. Mm-hmm. And kind of in stuck on and mentally you can't confront something. So and we've seen this in so many different stories. So
but it's not only mental illness. People do horrible things for all sorts of reasons.
Right.
Religious fundamentalism, for instance. You see a lot of that these days. And something that, well, this person would never do this normally. All of a sudden, non-normal circumstances, and they're running off to join ISIL, and, you know, they're doing all kinds of horrible things you never thought they'd do. It's basically, you have to expect certain acts to occur under certain situations, and when people are pushed, either through the doctrine that they are subscribing to or through some kind of health issue of their own, you need to be prepared for that. And, you know, I'm wondering, looking at this previously unthinkable situation. Of course, it wasn't the first time it happened. The Egypt Air situation a bunch of years ago, where a pilot nosedived his jetliner into the ocean, killing everybody on board.
Right.
It's happened before, but how many other situations are there where we are basically at the mercy of somebody else? I mean, every time you get onto a bus, obviously, you don't hope the bus driver doesn't crack up. Every time you drive down a highway, everybody passing you could easily swerve into your lane because they're having a psychotic episode or just in a bad mood for a split second. All kinds of things can happen. High school shootings, college shootings, office shootings. Every day this is happening. People going nuts in the military. You know, we're putting all this pressure and all of these horrible things onto people's shoulders. And we're seeing people crack up more than ever before. We're giving them easy access to all kinds of weapons. It's sad to see this happening so much. But it's something that I hope we don't get used to. But it is something we have to get prepared for.
Yeah, and I think there is some responsibility. I mean, the kinds of things that are going on in the media in our mental landscape with things overseas and internationally and a lot mm-hmm. of those issues, I think, have disturbed a lot of people, and I think there's a little bit of influence there, and with you know, seemingly unrelated things, but people get in these drastic modes when the rest of society is sort of an echo chamber of darkness. I think it can also contribute. So we need to be there for people. You know, and also be positive and talk about some of the good things about this country and about this world, about mm-hmm. humanity, the hopeful things.
It shouldn't be a stigma, you know, to have mental issues. Everyone does to a degree. But at the same time, you have to balance these things out. And if you do have this kind of a history, there are certain things that you're better off not doing, you know?
Yeah.
In the event that such an episode were to recur.
Right.
But there shouldn't be stigma attached to that, where basically somebody is seen as unstable. But, you know, you don't put so much pressure on them and you don't put them in such a position where really horrible things can happen. You know, I wonder, what other positions are there? What if the president of the United States suddenly went insane? How much, and I know people on Fox News will say that's already happened, but how much damage could one person do? Imagine this is the person in the White House, and they suddenly have an episode, or any leader of any country. How much damage could one person do? And if it's an incredible amount of damage, if it's something that really could obliterate parts of the planet or the entire planet, that's too much for one person. You need balances. You need safeguards. You need safety checks, because everyone's capable of losing it. Everyone's capable of doing something completely irrational. And if you just have blind trust and give somebody all of this power, eventually, might not be today, might not be next week, but eventually something really horrible will happen.
Yeah, and I also think just basically the age and it played a role too. I think anybody who's commanding a plane like that should have a bit more experience in general. Mm-hmm. Because it is a responsibility. There's a huge trust thing going on there. And, you know, pilots have a pretty serious role, commanding an airship like that. So,
absolutely, yes.
Anyway, I'm sure it's happening a lot this week in particular, but if you're flying somewhere, thank the pilot as you exit the aircraft for the lift, and,
yes.
You know, tell them you wish they have a good day, something nice.
Yeah, that might be enough just to keep them going a little while longer. But hopefully we never see a recurrence of something like this again.
Yeah, what else?
Oh, we had a building blow up in Lower Manhattan. How about that? That's another traumatic thing that happened. Right in the neighborhood we hold very near and dear, the East Village.
So you heard about that?
Yeah, we saw it happening live on television. It was really awful. A corner we're very familiar with. There's a Palm Free place that is no longer there. And just the neighborhood in general, just seeing a building like that just going up so quickly and realizing that there are people lost in there and pets. The pets, for some reason, really get me because they're just trapped in there. There's no way out.
Yeah.
We walked around on Sunday in the area. You can't really get too close to it, and you don't really want to.
Right. You were very keen to point out. We kept our distance and kept a good distance because it's not our place to be going and poking around, and I think that sentiment was shared just from what we observed.
Yeah. Just seeing that, you know, one of the guys who was killed, his face on a lamppost, you know, missing. That was enough for me. You know, I couldn't even bear to see that. But you know, again, it shows you how it just takes an instant of some crazy thing happening for your entire world to change, and for the people in that building or those three buildings, all of a sudden their world is completely altered as a result of either something completely random or, as it may turn out, an act that was really, really stupid, as in somebody tampering with the gas lines. We'll find out if that happened.
Yeah, it's still under investigation as far as we know right now.
So. Yeah, and will be for quite some time. But, wow, it's you know, the best part of Manhattan as far as I'm concerned, and to see that happen to such a close-knit neighborhood is really shocking and traumatic, and hopefully everybody will pull through that. Please look online. There's all kinds of things you can do to help, to donate resources to the people who are homeless or help find people's pets. You know, a couple of cats ran out afterwards. Somebody opened the door and they ran out into the street. So not all the pets were definitely killed in the explosion. So if you're able to somehow help with that, spreading the word, that would definitely ease things for some people.
Yeah, certainly, and it's like you said, a reminder that it just takes an instant and some bit of someone's action to sort of cascade into other people's lives.
Well, you know, the thing that really gets me is that the landlord or the superintendent of that building had told tenants not to contact the police or Con Edison if they smelled gas, but to contact him.
That's right.
And right away, you know, that is something that's wrong. That's sleazy. If you know of things like that happening, don't just accept them because that's a recipe for disaster. That's exactly what happened. People smelled gas. They told him instead of the police, and they basically had only another few minutes before the building blew up. You know, it's
no such authority.
Yeah. Hey, can we get back to airplanes just for a second? Because I wanted to show you this. I don't know if you saw this story that actually came out a month ago.
Yeah, let me bring the show back around.
Just to show you what airlines are capable of. China has this budget carrier called Spring Airlines, and they are seeking permission to have passengers stand during a flight in exchange for a lower price. Now, I'm showing you a picture here of what it looks like. This is what passengers would actually be standing in the airplane the entire time and paying really, really low fares.
Like a ride.
It's like an amusement park ride, probably a lot closer to that than you might think. You know, these are things that you sort of weigh in on before they become reality. Otherwise, you may be facing a very unpleasant life. Imagine that, standing on airplanes. They don't care about your safety.
Well, they have people laying down. Mm-hmm. Now they have people sitting. They have more space, all kinds of sitting positions and standing. I mean,
well, laying down is a little bit different than standing up. I mean, you get a lot of space. That's first class. You know, people are well taken care of up there.
You stand on the subway.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But you're not hurtling through the air 500 miles an hour.
Knots.
It's different. We can discuss it, but we only have a few minutes left. Anything else that you want to focus on? Well, let's see. There's that law in Indiana.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes, the great state of Indiana.
Religious freedom. And today, Arkansas passed a similar bill on religious freedom.
Did they?
Now, okay, you might say religious freedom. That sounds like a good thing. Except when the religious freedom imposes on other people's rights, and in this particular case, gives people the freedom to basically discriminate against gays and lesbians because they don't approve of them in their religion. So that means if they wait tables, if they sell services or whatever, they can say, you know what, I'm not going to even acknowledge your existence because of who you are. And that's, you know, that's not religious freedom anymore. That's religious abuse. And I think the world is starting to see that. I think the country is certainly starting to see that.
I think it's good. I mean, I think it's good for people to snap back and get a little dose of reality. I think communities can be really insulated, and we forget sometimes. We think, oh, you know, there's all these generations and new things are totally different, and school and the older folks, you know, maybe, you know, all these marriages that are happening and all these pivotal moments and milestones, and we get to, you know, create these cities or these flourishing communities where, you know, diversity is embraced and all of that, and we convince ourselves, yeah, it's a new age, yeah, it's a different time, yeah. Guess what? It's not.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not to say don't be yourself, but consider who you're speaking to. Consider what you might be facing out there, because It's a lot of the same. As much as it's different, there's a lot of the same. A lot of the same stuff we've struggled through and seen across movements over the years.
But, you know, I actually am for this. The reason I'm for this is because it makes Republicans look so bad that they will have no chance whatsoever. At least I sure hope so. I don't know what it's going to take. But if it doesn't take this, then I think there's no hope. But this shows you the mentality of at least a key percentage of the party. And until they change who they are and what they stand for, they are not in sync with where the world is.
All right. Now,
simple thing like the Indiana governor, uh-huh. all he has to do is say, yeah, you know, this law prohibits already people from discriminating based on things like race and religion. So you can't just say, oh, you're black, I'm not going to, you know, sell you a burger. That you can't do that under this religious freedom thing, because racial discrimination is exempted from that, as is all kinds of other forms of discrimination.
So blacks can hate queers too.
Well, anybody can hate queers, yes.
Oh, anybody, it's equal
because
opportunity.
Because that is not one of the exemptions. And
good. Okay.
The governor has said that he will not sign anything that says that this will be an exemption. This is what another Republican, State Senator Bart Hester, said. If you start shaving out exemptions and laws, next thing you know, you'll gut the law because everyone will want an exemption. So, you know, it's considered special rights for these groups, you know, and you can't have that. So, you know, until they back down on that particular stance and say, yeah, we're going to add an exemption for gays and lesbians, this is going to be very, very interesting. You know, they're going to be boycotted. They are going to be gutted. Talk about gutted.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
It's absolutely, it's one of these, maybe a couple more of these kinds of, like, dare I say, like linchpin type issues, mm-hmm. where it's just feels wrong on the outside, and the meat of it is really wrong too, and it's just, it gives you indigestion or something. I don't know. I think that they're going to be on thin ice if they can't make sense of what people really want out there.
That's right. Yes. We have to move kind of fast, but
okay.
Daily Show has a new host, Trevor Noah from South Africa.
What
do you
think
about that? That's, yeah, a surprise to me, too.
I love it. I mean, that's awesome to, we've never had anybody from that state. And, I mean, New York has had plenty of hosts, and, I don't see why we couldn't just.
South Africa being a state. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Yeah.
What? That's not a state.
No, it's not a state. It's a whole different country.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Well, basically this guy is impressive. He speaks what, 6 languages. He's been on the Daily Show before and impressed people. And I guess it's a bit of a surprise. Overwhelmingly positive response when this was announced.
I did read there's a little backlash, though.
There is a bit of backlash today because there has to be backlash, of course.
It's the day after the announcement.
Yeah. And, okay, things are getting a whole lot less positive, in fact, because of things he has said in the past. Yeah, he has offended people. And can you imagine a comedian offending people? People have been digging around. They found posts about Jews, women, even blacks. Of course, he is black himself.
He had a post with a woman?
Well, I can read you what he said.
About Jews?
In September of 2009. Yeah, they went back a bit.
Okay.
This was a... I think this was a tweet.
It sounded like one tweet and one reply.
Okay, I'll read you the tweet. All right. Remember, this is him saying this, not me.
Sure.
All right. Almost bumped a Jewish kid crossing the road. He didn't look before crossing, but I still would have felt so bad in my German car. All right. You know, it's not the funniest joke in the world, but it is a joke. All right. Deal with it. It's not a big deal. June 2010, this particular tweet read, South Africans know how to recycle like Israel knows how to be peaceful. Well, you know, that's just true. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they like their guns and their mandatory service and all that.
All right, much more recent tweet from July of 2014. Responding to another tweeter, who wrote, when a woman is loved correctly, she becomes 10 times the woman she was before. He retweeted that, but added, so she gets fat? That's funny. 10 times the woman she was, but she gets fat. Yeah, okay. It's offensive to people who are fat. It's offensive to people who feel victimized as women.
It works either way,
but you're a damn comedian. You're going to offend. If you don't offend people as a comedian, then you're not a good comedian, all right? And you shouldn't be offending people just for the sake of offending them. But really, people need to lighten up already. It's not the 1950s, okay? It's a little edgy out there.
Yeah, I mean, they're making mountains out of molehills.
Well, we'll just see if this guy gets politically corrected back to South Africa.
Oh, I'm sure he'll play off of it. Or it'll definitely come up, I think, in jest.
Maybe I hope so.
When he does his first show, I'm sure he'll address the criticism. But I'm excited. It'll be new. It'll be different. Mm-hmm. And, gosh, there's a lot of good programming.
Hey, Vice has a daily news show coming out on HBO. That's going
to
be cool.
I'm glad you mentioned. That's exactly what I was going to try to squeeze in. But, daily newscast from Vice. Imagine that, people. But
Things are changing. But, you know, there's still people that are upset that Vice is becoming so big. And, then you know, it's that same thing we talked about before where we just criticize each other instead of the real enemy out there. And we have an opportunity to reshape media. We're not going to have the opportunity tonight because we're out of time.
No, we're getting preempted because there's other media coming in. And, we need more of those kinds of avenues and expression. And it's exciting. It's exciting that they'll be out there. And I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry about that. I feel like I'm responsible. But while you're
there's just no time. There's so much to say.
Putting yourself back on track there, let me just say to the listeners that if you want to call us right after the show and pledge to the radio station, because we are in the middle of a fundraiser, please call 631-632-6901. One of us will probably answer, and we will take your pledge. But please support the radio station, because that's what gives us this opportunity to speak out.
Yes, and yeah, there's a lot of new shows and a lot of radio shows and a lot of good speech and great things in this country, and it's for you and for me. That was my best try.
Good.
So long, everybody.
See you tomorrow at Whole Foods.
I stood there asking, is this land made for you and me?
And you and me and me.
And welcome to Laval Stadium on the campus of Stony Brook University. This is Stony Brook Seawolves men's lacrosse tonight. The Seawolves, who are now 7-2 on the season, will be taking on the Quinnipiac Bobcats, who are 2-6. A non-conference matchup, a midweek matchup, as you'll see a lot of in men's lacrosse during the regular season, and a good opportunity for the Seawolves to literally make hay while the sun shines. Well, it's not really shining right now. As a matter of fact, precipitation coming down, it looks a bit snowy. It was raining all day, but this stuff I can actually see. Regardless, they're playing lacrosse tonight on the field turf, and let's see what the conditions are going to be like during the course of the evening. I'm Matt Mankiewicz, of course. I will be bringing you all the action today from Laval. And once again, the Seawolves are on a little bit of a winning streak. Yet again, they have won two in a row. They beat UMBC handily in our last broadcast, 12-6. That was 2 weeks ago. That was back on March 21st. Well, a little more than a week, almost a week and a half ago. And then scored a season-high 21 goals in beating Vermont in a contest, of course, that was not heard on WSB, but, of course, seen on America East TV. The good news is that America East TV is carrying this game as well with this audio. You're listening to it right now if you have America East TV on. And we will be bringing you all the action both on video and on audio, as we have been doing the past couple of years here on campus. Two-game homestand. You got Tuesday night tonight against Quinnipiac, and then you have Saturday afternoon against Princeton. And then this is where things get a little bit interesting. They go up to UMass Lowell on Saturday, April 10th, and then right after that, they come back on tax day, April 15th, to play Duke in a makeup game. However, just got a trade report from Jeff Bernstein. The Toronto Rock have just obtained Kevin Crowley from the New England Black Wolves in exchange for Garrett Billings. So Kevin Crowley got traded on this night. And this is real snow, guys. This is no kidding. This is not rain. This may be the first game I have ever broadcast of Stony Brook Seawolves across, of Stony Brook Seawolves anything, in the snow. This is snow. So, it's very reminiscent of the 1996 Yankee home opener snow that everybody likes to talk about. It's March 31st. We are on the eve of April, and we got snow. And we still got a lot of leftover snow plowed away from the last couple of snowfalls we've had over the past couple of weeks. We shall see how this stuff sticks to the ground and also how it affects play. Thank you, Jeff Bernstein. The women did play Oregon. They did clear the snow away on Saturday. Right, you have to remember that. Again, at Laval, and they beat Oregon handily, too. And the women, of course, undefeated under head coach Joe Spallina. And they are cruising along right now and expect to do some serious damage in the NCAA tournament when that happens. But they still have a rest of the America East season to play, and we'll be talking about that in greater depth over the halftime. But so a couple of breaking stories right off the bat as we get ready to get set up here for the Quinnipiac Bobcats and the Stony Brook Seawolves. It's only the second all-time meet against the Bobcats, who are 1-2 in conference play. Quinnipiac won last year 12-11. The game featured 11 ties and 8 lead changes. Matt Schultz registered a hat trick. Mike Rooney totaled a goal and 4 assists. And again, we're talking about a couple of very hot players. And also, let's talk a little bit about this game up in Vermont while we have a chance, because this was basically a dominant performance by everybody. The Seawolves have been relying primarily on guys like Mike Rooney and Brody Eastwood, and both of them came through big time in the 21-12 win. No doubt about that. But if you remember from our broadcast here, I've been saying that Shallon Rogers at midfield has been relatively quiet through a lot of games as far as just getting points up on the board. He gets touches all the time. Ball goes through him as it normally goes through the midfield, but had not been taking a lot of shots, had not been that much of an offensive force. And he cleaned up big time against Vermont and had some good scoring opportunities and made the most of them as they prevailed against the Catamounts, and the struggling Catamounts, I should say. But Rogers scored 5 goals, his career best. Mike Rooney had 11 points, 3 goals and 8 assists. And he's got 47 points in the last 6 games and 56 for the season. Brody Eastwood had 4. Chris Hughes had 2, had 3 points, 2 goals and an assist. And also freshman McLean Chicken, who we've seen on and off, as 2 mids have come in, we've seen him get some touches, but not necessarily a full-time player yet. He got some good opportunities against Vermont as well and had 2 goals and an assist himself. So the Seawolves come out of the game with 10 players with at least 1 point. And Jay Lindsay, who was getting some face-off action but was giving way to Frank Lucatordo in tough, tight situations, he was 14 of 25 from the face-off X. So he got some good work in as well. As you know, that they've been switching back and forth. You know, Jim Nagel and the crew have been switching back and forth between Lindsay and Lucatordo, and sometimes alternating them. But Lucatordo, the previous week against UMBC, had a really good game. Not only dominant at the faceoff X against a team that's been weak in faceoffs, but also coming up with a couple of really neat goals himself. One question mark move, just going around and just weaving through people like they were standing still. And another one where he literally faked 2 defenders out of their shorts and just dumped the ball into an empty net. And you got to watch out for Lucatordo if he gets close to the net these days. But again, we'll see how things break down here. But let's step aside for the national anthem.
Of our national anthem. Now the starters for the visiting Quinnipiac Bobcats. Attack number 4, Brian Feldman. Attack number 5, Michael Sagel. Attack number 15, Ryan Keenan. Midfielder number 11, Pat Corcoran. Midfielder number 27, Connor Meth. Midfielder number 29, Kevin Deal. Defenseman number 21, Mike Ruane. Defenseman number 23, Carmen French. Defenseman number 42, Riley Palmer. In goal for Quinnipiac, number 13, Jack Brust. The Bobcats are coached by Eric Fiquetta. He is assisted by Bill Tully, Mason Poli, and Raymond Esposito. And now, the starters for your Stony Brook Seawolves. Attack from East Islip, New York, number one, Mike Rooney. Attack from Victoria, British Columbia, number 18, Brody Eastwood. Attack from Smithtown, New York, number 40, Matt Schultz. Midfielder from Purdy's, New York, number 7, Alex Corpolongo. Midfielder from Coquitlam, British Columbia, number 23, Chalin Rogers. Midfielder from Oceanside, New York, number 34, Chris Hughes. Defenseman from Clifton Park, New York, number 6, Andrew Dorsey. Defenseman from Bayshore, New York, number 22, Lucas Rock. Defenseman from Mason, Ohio, number 44, Ben Randall. In goal for the Seawolves, from Penn Yan, New York, number 19, Brandon Machiewski. Stony Brook is coached by Jim Nagel. He is assisted by Craig Gibson and Andrew Watkins.
Stadium live, Stony Brook Seawolves men's lacrosse here on WSB Stony Brook as we
Devane and Lindsay facing off.
Thank you very much. Lindsay, the face-off man, Curry on the near wing for the Seawolves. And we are underway, shoulder to shoulder on the face-off. Ball's not worked loose yet. There it is, out by the SB logo, still being fought for. And it looked like Lindsay got a stick on. No, it's going to be won cleanly eventually by the Quinnipiac Bobcats. And what they're going to try to do is do a little bit of north-south action. Adam Bellamy with a long stick running into trouble with Curry on the near side, finally getting free. And he's going to find a man down low and take a shot. And, well, nice save by Maciejewski in goal. Had a man out in front. Was trying to beat Maciejewski straight up. And Maciejewski comes up with a big save. So it stays at nothing-nothing. 40 seconds into the game, Seawolves, working left to right on your radio, are in action. Eastwood gets a touch. He finds Schultz behind the net, hugging the end line, coming out to the far side, now to Rooney. Rooney to Rogers. Rogers, of course, with the 5 goals on Saturday. Through to Hughes. And back to Rogers on the left side once again. And they'll bring it back to Rooney in the far corner. Around to Schultz, now to the near side, to Eastwood. Coming back up to the top to Hughes, about 15 yards out from the restraining line. Now to Rogers. Rogers looking to drive. Moves to his right. Passes to his left. That's Hughes back out and taking a shot, and missing on that one was Corpolongo. So Corpolongo taking the first shot of the game for the Seawolves. Missed wide right, and it's going to be brought back in by Rooney on the near corner. Rooney with the one-handed cradle on the left, looking for a shot up front, and a good stop by the Quinnipiac goalie, but a rebound comes back to Schultz, and another big stop by Jack Brust. So Quinnipiac now looking to clear. Quinnipiac wearing gold jerseys with black shoulders, black shorts, black helmet, and the Seawolves in their home white. Number 5, Michael Sagel, works his way around Randall and completes the clear. Goes almost coast to coast. And again, looking for a man down low, but he throws the ball away. Pass was intended for Brian Feldman, but it was just a little bit too far to his right and went right between the goalie Maciejewski and out into the far corner and out of bounds. So Randall will pass and play a little bit of catch with Maciejewski in Stony Brook territory. And then they'll pass over to the near side to Andrew Dorsey. But Dorsey had trouble handling it and will go out of bounds, and they'll come back to the Bobcats. Sagel getting a touch as we start to get Connor Meth And also getting a look at Pat Corcoran there, midfielder, passing to his right out to the far side, and then through the X and around back to the near side to Sagel again. Sagel behind the net, bringing it back up to the left elbow. That's number 29, Kevin Deal. And then out to number 27, Meth, and then out to the right side, and looking for, no, he's going to go X, and then come back to the left side, driving the net. There's number 29, that's Kevin Deal. Deal is going to pass back out to the top and out to the right side again as Quinnipiac looking to close in on the Stony Brook Seawolves. And that was Ryan Keenan. Keenan was looking shot. No, he's going to bring it back out for a pass. That brought that back out to Feldman, through the X to Sagel and around to the near side once again to Deal. And Deal brings it out to the slot. He'll go to his right to Corcoran, and they work around counterclockwise, as the Bobcats will cycle a little bit here as Keenan comes around to the near side of the crease. Right-handed cradle, trying to work his way through Corpolongo. Corpolongo pushes him out of the way, and the ball gets free as well. So the Seawolves come back up with it. Curry, past the midfield line, gets it to a short stick, and that's Rooney. Rooney proceeds to bring it to Rogers, a midfielder, and Rogers just hangs out there until everybody is where they need to be. He'll pass to Schultz on the left elbow. Schultz trying to elude his defender as he comes all the way out to the far corner and finds an open Rooney through the left wing and out to the left elbow, back again to Hughes. Ryan Bitzer getting a touch now on top. And McLean Chiquen, who had a pretty good day on Saturday, getting a touch as well. Down to, back through to Hughes, and now through the left wing, and now to the X to Schultz, and out to Eastwood. No, that was 16 is actually down in the down up front. That was Eastwood getting a touch, and now you have Bitzer driving and inverting, coming around to the X, bringing it back out to the left side to Hughes, now to the top to Chiquen. Chiquen was looking to dodge to his left, instead passes to his left to Hughes. Hughes looking to drive now, doesn't have the angle, comes around to the X now to Schultz, and back out to the near side once again to Bitzer, up to the top to Chiquen. Chiquen evading one defender who's trying to put the hit on him, and Rooney finds Schultz down low, but Schultz doesn't have a shot. Instead he finds Eastwood, and Eastwood comes up with the score! A great tic-tac-toe play for the Seawolves, puts him on the board 1-0. So with 9:54 remaining, Stony Brook gets the lead early. And in lacrosse, you only get one assist. So, but I think two guys deserved assists on that one. So Lindsay working the faceoff once again for the Stony Brook Seawolves. And he goes up against Connor Devane, and this one is still being fought for as he rolls over to Stony Brook territory. Devane got a stick on it, now a whole bunch of other people getting sticks on it as the thing's going to roll out of bounds to the far side. And Lucas Rock was the last one to touch it, so it is going to be, once again, a Quinnipiac ball.
Eastwood from Schultz at 9:54 in the first quarter. Stony Brook leads 1-0.
So Schultz gets the assist on that Eastwood goal. But Rooney should have got one too. Oh, correction on that. But in any case, let's get a little concentrate on Quinnipiac right now. As Ryan Lawson gets a touch and passes it back to Matt Keisha. Keisha moves around and does an underhand shot. Comes around the crease and misses wide right. But Quinnipiac is covering. So Keenan will bring it in, and Keisha will come back around the other way and now try the far side of the net. No, he's going to pass it back to Corcoran. Do a correction on that. That is, yeah, Keenan, not Corcoran. Corcoran's also somewhere on the field. As they work around to Sagel. Sagel slips, and we're going to be seeing a lot of that. With the precipitation coming down, he flips to his right, taking what was essentially a one-timer, Feldman, missing wide left, so Quinnipiac will try this again. 8:26 left in the first quarter. Sewell's up 1-0. It's Quinnipiac ball. Coming in, dodging to his right, trying to elude the defender, Keisha, now trying to find the man down low, and he does as Feldman is cutting across, gets the ball by Mishevsky, and we are tied at one. So we get back to midfield for the faceoff, and it'll be Devane once again and Lindsay. Shoulder to shoulder again, and the ball is going to be a clean win for Lindsay. Lindsay, quick flip over to Rooney. Rooney shoots and scores! Rooney just cranked it off the feet from Lindsay, and Lindsay should get an assist on that one. The Seawolves lead it 2-1. Eight oh one remaining in the first quarter, and the Seawolves score a quick one.
Devane and Philbin facing off.
So now we see a little bit of a different look on the face-off for the Stony Brook Seawolves, as that was Matt Philbin who took a face-off, a freshman. And now with the ball being fought for, flags all over the place. And this one's going to go against Stony Brook, as Devane took a hit. Now who takes the knee? It's going to be a full minute on Eastwood.
Seawolves penalty on number 18, Brody Eastwood. 1 minute for tripping.
So Eastwood will take a knee, and the Quinnipiac man-up unit will come into play. That's Matt Deal with the ball up top. He'll come around to the far side, then they'll work their way through to the X, and that should be Segal. Segal looking for a feed down low, and Feldman took the shot, but either it hit iron or it hit something because it did not go in, and Mishevsky may have come up with a save on that one. Now they work around to the top once again, and this one's going to be Corcoran. Corcoran passed to his right, now to his left, once again to number 26, Matt Deal, as they try a shot. Another shot down low. That one misses. And we've got 33 seconds left in the man up for Quinnipiac. Segal will bring it back in, bring it to the X, looking for a feed down low. Instead, he's going to go to his left to Deal, and now down low to Keisha. Keisha was thinking shot. No, they're going to pass it through and bring it back up to the top. That's Corcoran. Now going to his right, taking a shot. That's Feldman off the feed, and Feldman misses. And this is one thing they've noticed. Shooting accuracy on some of these teams leaves something to be desired. The Seawolves are generally more accurate shooters. Another shot up and over the crossbar and taken by Feldman. So the Seawolves kill the penalty, and Quinnipiac maintains control. 6:41 left in the first quarter. It's 2-1 Stony Brook. Still very early going. As Keisha passes to his right to Corcoran and comes back up with it. He's looking to invert. Instead, he slips and falls, coming back, cutting the other way. This is going to be a problem, as I said. The field turf is going to get pretty slick with all this stuff coming down. As with the one-handed cradle, Brian Feldman looking to invert, does so. Passes back out. That should be Keisha in the far corner there. You know, check that. That's actually Segal. Segal on the far side of the goal. coming around to the right wing, back up to the top, and now out to the left side. That's Corcoran. Corcoran looking to drive. Instead, he goes to his right, and another shot taken from the same angle. Ryan Keenan this time taking it, missing over the crossbar, and with Quinnipiac covering, they will try it again. Don't forget, however you are picking up this game, you can pick up the video on AmericaEast.tv, WSB.fm, WSB 90.1 FM, and AmericaEast.tv. The audio component is the live radio feed. Michael Sagel at the X for Quinnipiac. He's being pushed back as the Seawolves defense maintains and keeps control of the space in front of them, especially in front of the net. They've had to take some shots from further outside than maybe they would have liked, but now looking to drive. Quick pass over to Kevin Deal, going to his right now, and this one trying another one taken, and this one a kick save, nice one by off Keenan from Mishevsky. Mishevsky coming up with another save. Now the Seawolves lose control of the ball midfield, but it is recovered. Let's see what happens now. Jeff Ray picked it up for the Seawolves. He will get it to an offensive specialist, which is Rooney, on the left elbow. And then he'll find Matt Schultz on the left wing out to Rogers about